tonight. We're in the book of chapter 1 through chapter 12. You could follow basically a section of text and teach from it. But as you go from Proverbs 13 all the way to 31, every verse is a contrasting verse. So it's like every verse is a sermon of its own. And so what I've decided to do is for the last, you know, so many chapters of Proverbs to go through and contrast and compare the two different kinds of men you find listed here. Last week, we had the wise and the foolish. And today, we're going to look at the simple and the prudent. They are opposites of each other. The simple man is easily allured away. The word simple in Hebrew means, now, please don't take this wrong. It means space. I mean, and you think, well, space for rent. No. No, I'm not talking about space for rent between your ears. I mean there's space inside their head to make a decision. That's what simple means. They are open to make a decision if they're given the information. But because they're open to make decisions, they're also easily led astray by charlatans, by liars, by false preachers and false teachers. So the word simple, when somebody says, well, I'm just a simple man, it doesn't mean that you're stupid. It means that you're open. You're open to hear truth. You're open to make decisions. But you're also easily led astray, deluded or allured or deceived, enticed is what it comes out. It's a constant concern for me as a pastor. People get saved, and the Bible refers to them as babies in Christ or babes in Christ, and that is when the devil will lead them astray through. Please don't take this wrong, but internet preachers. Oh my gosh, and I happen to be one. I know my sermons are out there, but as soon as somebody gets saved, it is invariable, almost 100% of the time. Oh, preacher, I found this guy on the internet, and he's got all these, boy, he really is engaging, and he's got all these great illustrations. Turns out he's a cultist, or he's a Calvinist, or worse, you know, or something else. And I'm like, ah, why did that happen? It wasn't because they were dumb. It's not because they're stupid. It's because they're open to make decisions when presented with information. Now, the opposite is a prudent man, a man who knows what's right. But there is another opposite to the simple man, and that is the willful man. The willful man is the guy who you can't tell him nothing. I was like that at 19. I already had made up my mind, bless God, and I don't confuse me with the truth. Have you ever been like that in your life? Listen to me. I remember one time we were first married, I could feel the heat coming from my wife's eyes because I had one of those moments where I wasn't going to listen. And had she been a superhero, I'd have holes burnt through me. I mean, she just, you know, I frustrate the dog out of her, you know. And I'm telling you, it's terrible. But that's another opposite to the simple, is to the willful. Maybe you work with people like that, who, when you bring up something, or excuse me, when somebody else brings up God and you weigh in on it, you're not even the one that brought it up. But it's like they just want to lash out at you. And they were fine. You could have talked about any off-the-wall religious ideology, but the minute you mention Jesus, they go nuts. That's the other side, the opposite of simple. But in this tonight, in our text tonight, as we go through the book of Proverbs, the simple man's opposite is the prudent man. The word prudent means somebody who has foresight, somebody not so caught up in the present that they can actually see past the end of their nose and they understand what's coming, that he is noted for carefulness and the ability to be observant in everyday life situations. He's constantly learning. He's open to new ideas and new things as long as it lines up with scriptural truth. He fully realizes that all knowledge gained at the present may not be immediately necessary, but it's worth saving and hanging on to in case of the future. Now, a simple person here in the Bible, and look, go to Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Like I said, Proverbs 14 and verse 15, a simple person, like a child, will believe everything they're told without checking it out. Proverbs 14, 15, the Bible says, the simple, Proverbs 14 and verse 15, here we go.
The simple believeth every word, but the prudent looketh well to his goings. This is a great illustration of a man named Amasa, A-M-A-S-A, Amasa in 2 Samuel 20. He was killed by being what I would call suckered. Joab goes, hey, are you my brother Amasa? And he goes, well, yeah. And he comes walking over, and Joab grabs him by the beard and sticks a knife in between his ribs. Amasa didn't realize the situation he was in. He didn't realize what was going on. That made him simple. He was murdered. Another thing about simple people is the simple learns from the punishment. Like when a scorner is smitten. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 25. Proverbs verse 19. Chapter 19 and verse 25. I talked about the willful. The word scorner is another good one as an opposite to the simple. A scorner is somebody who opposes known truth just because they like to stir the pot, just because they like to be, well, I don't care what the truth is. But if you smite the scorner, the simple will learn. Look what it says in Proverbs 19:25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. When a scorner is punished, the simple learn. They see it and they learn. Let me give you an example. When you're at work and the conversation switches from sports to politics to religion, the person who stands up and bloviates in your face about how you're a fool for believing in Christianity and Christianity's a crutch and is for weak-minded people, you're never going to convince that person. But the people in the cubicles around you watching you handle this bloviating fool, they're the ones who are open to truth if you'll handle it correctly, if you'll not allow yourself to be pulled into a shouting match with a fool. When you keep your composure and say, well, you know, I can tell you it made a difference in my life. At that point, all the bloviating fool can do is say, well, you're an idiot. Just kind of shrug, walk off, because everyone around you saw you keep your cool and stand your ground and not melt like a dish rag when confronted by a fool. A simple person will learn from that. They'll be like, maybe there's something to it, because I would have ran away from that kind of a thing. But you stood your ground. You don't have to be you don't have to argue. But a simple person, a person open to ideas, open to truth, they learn when the scorner is punished. In Proverbs 21 and verse 11, you're there close by, look at it. Proverbs 21 and verse 11 says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The children of Israel in Deuteronomy 17 is a good example of this. When the people around them were punished, they learned that God did not play when it came to sin. Now, a simple person is easily pulled in to sin. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Like I said, they're like a child. You could tell a child, hey, go do such and such, and they'll do it. Why? Because they're simple. They're open to new ideas. They're not dumb. They're open to it, and they can be easily led astray. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 3. The Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Why? Because they don't know what they're getting into. They don't know the problems that are coming down the pike. They're simple. Look at Proverbs 27 and verse 12. Proverbs 27 and verse 12. It says basically the same thing. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A good example of this is Samson. Samson was one of the judges in the book of Judges. This is after Joshua entered the promised land and before the first king was crowned in Israel. And Samson was to deliver them from the abuse of the Philistines. But Samson's problem was he was simple. He thought he could play with sin and it not affect him.
He thought it could. He could fiddle with it. He thought he could. He could engage in it. He thought he could be around it and it not affect him. A simple person is that way. They don't understand the gravity of the situation they're in. You know, when you watch Bible movies, they always cast somebody big and burly as Samson. And I don't believe that's what he looked like. I'll tell you why. Because he had miraculous strength. If he looked like Schwarzenegger or Apollo Creed or whatever, you know, the guy, he just died. The guy who played Apollo Creed just died. I mean, if he was big and muscular and overwhelming, it wouldn't have been so miraculous. Remember? They kept bugging him. They kept, it was, Delilah kept saying, oh, tell me where your strength is. Oh, tell me where your strength is. Why? Because it was miraculous strength. I imagine he was probably 5'5", buck 25, soaking wet. Just a little bitty guy who could just tear apart people because he had miraculous strength. But he was simple in the fact that he thought he could play with sin and get away with it. So you and I have to realize that God has proven. There's three universal laws. The first one is, you may have heard it as what goes around comes around, but we know it as you reap what you sow. Do you know that one? God is not, he says, God is not mocked, Galatians 6, huh? He says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you always reap more, you reap what you sow, yes, but you reap more than you sow. And you reap later. And because Samson got away with sin the first couple of times, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, he thought he was immune. Are you that way? Well, God didn't smite with me with conviction the last time I said this or did that, so I guess it's okay. No, you reap later. The simple mind thinks there is no payday someday. The prudent man knows there's always, the chickens always come home to roost. The simple man is without understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7. He does not understand the why. Look at Proverbs 7 and verse 7. Solomon, looking out his window, saw a young man walking through the streets, and he said, Behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. As you read on through Proverbs 7, he's met by a harlot and ends up dead in a ditch because of his engagement with her. A simple man doesn't realize the problems that he's getting into. He doesn't understand the why. Oh, you can teach your kids what, that's knowledge, and you can teach them how, that's wisdom. But if you don't teach them why, they'll think you're just being old and foolish. You're so out of touch. But when you tell them why you don't do this like this, and they see it happen in other people, they learn. Just like a simple, when you smite a scorner, the simple learn. They see it and go, wow, yeah, that could have been me. And they learn. Do you learn the hard way all the time? Can you learn from the example of someone else? Can God work in someone else's life and you wake up and go, wow, yeah, I don't want that. I should probably secure that. I should probably get my stuff together in that area. Can God bless somebody in their life and you go, wow, yeah, I want that. Yeah, what did you do? Are you humble enough and open in your own heart to get answers, to find truth, to lower your pride and go, you know what? I would like to have a marriage like you do. Wow, I would like to have my finances under control like you do. I'd like to learn from you. How is it you do that? Are you humble enough and simple enough, open to new ideas? Or do you always got to be seen as right all the time? Well, I can't let anybody know. I always laugh. It just makes me chuckle. I meet some Christians and they don't want you involved in their life. And you find out later their life's a mess, and it's because they're hiding and they don't want you to know you're a mess. Hey, let you in on a little secret. Everybody in this room tonight's a mess. You may not think so, but you're a mess, and you got mess in your life. And you know what? So do I. And the fact that we're going to try to hide from each other, because, I'm not saying you get your dirty laundry out, but you understand what I'm saying. If you're too proud to ask questions, if you're too willful to learn from somebody else's good or bad, then it's going to be payday. You'll have to learn the hard way. There's a man of God in 1 Kings 13 that was told by God to go down and preach and tell them, if they don't repent, I'm going to judge them. Well, he run into another man of God, former man of God, who was out of the will of God. And he convinced the preacher to come home rather than leave, as God told him, and God ended up killing him over it. I've met a lot of former, used-to-be Christians. Do you? Do you know any? I'll go down, I'll be at Safeway, and I'll walk up to the counter, and I'm paying for my groceries, and I'll invite that person to church, and they'll say, well, you know, I used to sing in the choir. You know, I used to go to church. You know, I used to teach Sunday school. What happened? Well, you're never going to accomplish anything spiritually in your life if when you get knocked down, you don't get back up and get after it again. Getting knocked down is not something that is surprising. We all do it. We all trip. We all fall. We all end up having a season where it's kind of cold and dry in our walk with God. That's not the problem. A righteous man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. That's what the Bible says. And the problem is the willful, the scorner, the proud man is too proud to admit, you know, I need to get back at this again. The consequences of a simple man is he inherits folly. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 18. Proverbs 14 and verse 18. The simple inherit folly. Foolishness continues to ensue in their life month after month after month after month. And it's like they don't understand where it's coming from, and they can't understand why it doesn't stop. Have you had seasons like that where it's just like the hits keep coming and you're like, what's going on here? Well, at least you're asking why. A simple person just thinks that's just life. Well. No. When God gets your attention, you ought to ask him what's up. We find this, that they also the end of the simple man is doing evil. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 3. They will get into sin eventually. If not at the beginning, they will in the end. Look at it. Proverbs 22, 3. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on. The simple hear the warnings. The simple will see the example of the prudent and go, nah, I think I got this. And they are punished. The prudent man, as I said, is the opposite. This is a person who pays attention to their surroundings, knows what and sees what's going on, and looks beyond today and the immediate. They control their temper. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. I'm sorry, I got the hiccups tonight. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. A prudent man keeps his temper under control. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He keeps his temper under control. You find Jesus is the excellent example of this. When provoked, he didn't provoke back. He didn't play the tit for tat game with people. The prudent man will conceal knowledge. Look at Proverbs 12, 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. What does that mean, preacher? That means he lies or he hides? No. Look, my preacher used to say it's better if people thought you were a fool than for you to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Right? It's okay to admit I don't know, but then again, sometimes it's just better for you to keep your mouth shut rather than always have to have something to say. You know, dead air in a meeting sometimes is not a bad thing. The guy who speaks first a lot of times in negotiations is the loser in the battle of a negotiation. Same thing in sales. The guy who talks first loses. When you think about it, the simple, they have to say something. The prudent will listen. Jehu was really good at this as a king in 2 Kings 10. He would hear the matter fully before he acted. A prudent man also gathers knowledge. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Are you still learning? What books are you reading?
What podcasts are you listening to? Are you continuing to add to your knowledge base? It's not about so you can win at foolish games. It's because you and I, if we don't keep sharpening the saw, as Stephen Covey said, if we don't continue to work on ourselves and grow as a person, pick up new information and learn more about God. You know, there's so much more about God than you know already. You'll never exhaust that. But are you also improving in your professionalism? Are you improving in your self-control? Are you improving in the way you talk? Are you improving in your gentleness and in the fruits of the Spirit? A prudent man gathers knowledge. This is what it says in Proverbs 14:18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. They're learning. They don't feel like they've arrived yet. They still want to learn more things. They try to keep informed. They try to stay up. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, Proverbs 18:15, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Paul was an excellent example of this. When Paul went to Mars Hill and he walked by all the different altars to the gods that were worshipped in that region, he found the unknown God and he remembered the poetry he had read from that area of the world and used it as in his illustration. The heart of the prudent get knowledge. It also, the prudent will take heed when reproved. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Can you be corrected? Can your boss pull you aside without you getting all bent like somebody turned you in? Can your wife call you on something and say, hey, listen, this is really, I know you didn't mean to, but this is how you make me feel when you do this. Can she do that, or is she afraid to because you're such a jerk? Can your spouse, can your husband say, hey, I'm having a problem in this area. Can you help me out? I don't understand. I love you. I don't want to do this. But it seems like I'm this or that. Can we have a conversation without, can we be corrected without having to lash out at people? The prudent will listen to somebody correcting them. And if it applies, they'll apply it. If not, they'll thank them for it anyway, and they may chuck it, but they at least listen. Can you listen? A prudent person listens, hears out somebody else without feeling attacked, will hear it all the way through and get all the information before responding. See, a simple person just reacts, just blows up, just goes off. You got anybody like that in your life? You know, like, well, I talked to that person, but, you know, I really don't want the drama. I'd just rather ignore it. That's not a prudent person. A prudent person you can go to, and instead of giving you drama, they'll listen. And even if they disagree with you, they won't be disagreeable. Are you that way? Can someone disagree with you without you having to raise your voice, without you having to get all bent out of shape, have that little vein on the side of your head bulge and like a strobe light, huh? Or can you take a breath and listen? My dad used to say, if you'd listen, son, you might learn something. A prudent man foresees evil, as we've heard already multiple times. He sees the end because he's looking down the road. He isn't just looking at today. He's looking down the road and saying, you know, if I don't change what I'm doing now, I'm going to end up down there, and I don't want to be down there. Joseph was that way in Genesis 39. Joseph, what did he have to lose? He was sold into slavery by his own family. He was bought by Potiphar. Potiphar's wife wanted to offer him pleasure a slave could never even dream of. And he realized, he didn't say, how can I sin against Potiphar? He didn't say, how can I sin against me? How can I sin against God, who I belong to? He was looking farther down the road than just the immediate pleasure. That's prudence. Prudence means you understand your way. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. I know where my life is going because I'm planning things. I'm not just floating like a dead fish. Oh, I understand life happens. But if you don't make a financial plan, then you are planning to fail. If you don't have a spiritual plan, you are planning to fail. If you don't have any kind of plan, then everybody else is in control of your life rather than you. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings, Proverbs 14:15. You know, in Daniel chapter 3, you had the three Hebrew children. And they were offered the opportunity to go along, to get along. And they said, no. What if it costs you your life? Well, I can't live with myself if I just go along to get along. In essence, that's what the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their names were actually Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's what their Hebrew names. They were prudent. They had a way that meant something to them. The prudent man has wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:12, I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of windy inventions. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Solomon started off this way. King Solomon, David's son, started off this way as a prudent man who knew how to behave, who knew what the end of these choices would be. He even spoke of them in the book of Proverbs. But between the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, you have a life of debauchery. And you end up broken at the end of, that's why you don't get any doctrine out of Ecclesiastes necessarily. Why? Because he's a broken, bitter man who spent his life, you know, grinding at the mill of sin. And realizing in the end, going, wow, I was foolish. I was foolish. I was the wisest man who ever lived. I was given this knowledge. I knew how to behave. I knew how to act. I knew what was right. But I chose sin. And that's what Ecclesiastes is good for, is for an old man to look back and go, you know what, you guys? Don't follow in my footsteps like this. He says, here's the end of the matter in Ecclesiastes. Fear God and serve him. As the wisest man who ever lived, the richest man who ever lived, the most powerful man who ever lived, after it was all said and done, he finally came to a level of understanding where he said, here's the whole thing wrapped up in a bow. Just fear the Lord and serve him. To do that, you're going to have to make choices. To fulfill that, you're going to have to look beyond today, because God isn't in the immediate gratification business. God is in the delayed gratification business. If you step out by faith and you obey me, that'll take prudence. That'll take you mastering your own emotions, your own sinful flesh, and saying, you know what? I don't like where that's going to lead. I want to be where God wants me to be. I'm going to choose my path. Now I'm going to pay attention to my going and my way, as Proverbs says, and I'm going to choose to be where God wants me to be rather than just be led of my flesh. And the truth is, if you don't make choices for the Lord, life will make them for you. If you're not controlling it by surrendering to the Lord, other people will control yours. There's still only one way, and that's following God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe tonight you're the kind of simple that says, you know what, I want to learn, preacher. I want to learn what God has to say. I want to learn the truth. Then let me help you. Read the Bible. Anything that's contrary to the Bible, throw away as foolish. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. A prudent person asks, what does the Bible say? Every head bowed, every eye closed. A prudent person says, what does the scripture say? That's what Jesus said when he was questioned. He said, what saith the scriptures? How readest thou? A prudent person looks to the truth before making decisions. A simple person just goes on and hopes for the best. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we want to be prudent. We want to be a vessel that you can use. We want our lives to be something that is a living testimony to the people around us that you're real, that you're true, that you're good. And Father, they see hope in us. They see joy in us. And Father, it's not by accident because it's you working through us. Father, many times we have been simple. We have been just open and not paying attention, and we've allowed things to happen in our lives. But Father, today, as we walk with you, guide us by your Spirit, and we will respond. Father, if there's one here tonight that's having struggles in their finances or their relationship or they have a health concern, I pray, Father, as we seek your face in the next few moments, God, you would answer their prayers. You would answer, and Father, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play tonight, whatever your need is tonight, whatever your concern is tonight, come, let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord. A prudent person seeks his face rather than trying to scheme. Let's seek what the Lord has. The choice is yours. You can try to blame your parents. You can try to blame society. You can try to blame politics. You can try to blame anything. But the truth is, you and I make decisions. And even no decision is a decision. And I guess that's the difference. A prudent person makes a decision, desiring that that decision would lead them closer to God. A simple person makes no decision and just hopes for the best. The choice is yours. What will it be? What will it be? Great marriages don't just happen. Good kids don't just happen. A fruitful life doesn't just happen. It's through a series of choices aligned with Scripture. Won't you take that time tonight? Won't you tonight commit your life? I may not know everything, but I intend to learn what God has and what God thinks. She continues to play. Sweet Terry for this one. Who's praying? How about you? You're being afforded an opportunity to make a choice. Just as I am, I come. Our Father and our God, our desire is that our lives will be a living testimony of your truth. Father, help us to make those choices. Help us, Father, to plan for your use, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.